Hello. It's like a dream come true standing here facing you all. Thank you very much for sharing this happy moment with me today. Let me give you a little bit about my background. I come from a non-Christian family, and I never had to go to church, but I was curious at what church is like. And so in college, I started going. But then very soon, I was being put off by the rules in church because there are so many rules about what you should and should not do, and particularly, Christians are not supposed to date non-Christians, which really put me off. And that's because I was dating a non-Christian for 4 years, and I thought to myself, what should I do at that time? Should I tell him right away that he's not a Christian and I should leave him? That sounds very ridiculous to me. And at that point in life, I thought I had it all. I had a very easy job, I had a lot of friends, and I had a stable relationship. And the only thing that worries me and that drives me to make decisions is actually a thought that is driven purely out of personal desire. And it is, do I want to do it? So before I do anything, I ask myself this question, and as you can guess, it is purely out of selfishness. And so, as you all know, pride comes before destruction. And before I know it, I was in a very low point in my life. I kept changing jobs and changing partners. And even though I was dimly aware of myself suffering from the consequences of my own selfish acts, I was still too proud to admit it until one night I couldn't stand it any longer. So I didn't know what to do. I quieted my mind. I closed my eyes and asked myself, is this really what I want in life? And almost at once, I heard a voice. And this voice said three words to me. And no, it didn't say, I love you. It said something equally meaningful. It said, go to church. It was mind-blowing to me. Whoever's voice it was, he knows that I am in trouble. He knows I need help and that I couldn't do it alone. And so after that, I started going to church. But very soon, I was overcome with another skeptical question. And that is, why didn't God come earlier to my life? Why did he let me suffer from so many failure and pain before he approached me? And luckily, God knew what I was thinking. And he sent Artie Kendall to remind me of an important fact. That God is never too late or too early in his plans. He always has the perfect timing. He knows that I need failure to break my ego, because that is what I was, egotistic and stubborn. And to open up myself and to empty myself of my pride, I need God to break me first. And just as bitter medicine is necessary for the sick, so suffering and pain is necessary for me to open my heart to his grace. During these 2 months at SP, I've grown so much more spiritually than I had ever done in the last 20 years. And that isn't an embellishment. Rather than asking myself if this is what I want to do, I learned to ask, is this what God wants me to do? And I came to realize that God has actually put a tiny angel in me all along. It's there all along. But I didn't know it. But now I knew. And through constant meditation and reflection and prayer, I learned to listen to that voice which guides me in life and tell me what is right or wrong. It also tells me to appreciate the people around me and whatever they have done for me, because God has forgiven me for what I have done. So in turn, I should practice grace and forgiveness to other people around me as well, and to appreciate them wherever they come from. And so I'm thankful for everyone in my life. I'm thankful for my parents, for Sam, for my house church members, for John and Sue, for welcoming me to their family and accepting me as part of their community. And I thank you all for sharing this happy moment with me again. And I thank God the most for accepting me and forgiving me for what I have done. Thank you.
So good. Yeah. Amen. Do you receive Joyce as your sister in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for letting me have your time. My name is Mandy, and I am here today not because I enjoy speaking in front of huge crowds, but because I want to share how God has been pursuing me and why I knew I had to get baptized. Having been exposed to Christ at a young age, believing in Him came naturally to me. There were too many opportunities for me to witness God in my Christian schooling, through my friends and through my family, for me to deny His existence, or that He had sent His Son to die for me. I was content with knowing I had gained salvation. This complacency grew into self-righteousness, and as I left for college, I became confident that I knew enough of God. Since accepting Jesus meant I had been promised heaven, now I was free to pursue both the world and I would still have Christ. Yes, I had learned that we cannot serve two masters. However, in theory, couldn't it somehow work? I devised a plan in which I would serve God only when it was convenient for me. Baptism itself was out of the question. After all, why did I need to proclaim what I had already promised to my God in secret? See, I was downplaying God's influence in my life because there was a part of me that still wanted the envy of others and the glory for myself. I didn't need Him in all aspects of my life. I only needed Him in a few. As graduation neared, I began to panic. None of my employment prospects were panning out, and I couldn't understand why. Why wasn't God rewarding me for being so faithful to Him? For several months, I became distraught by the failure of being unemployed and feeling pity for myself. When sisters around me started pointing out I had been aiming for jobs that were out of reach and getting angry at God for not providing them, I could not immediately digest the truth that they were revealing. To concede with them would be to accept that I might not be able to get what I wanted and that I could not stay angry at God for that. But our God is so patient. In His love for me, He provided parents who were extremely understanding. He kept surrounding me with sisters who shared their testimonies and with people who were constantly praying for me. Slowly, over the past year, He has worked to humble me and to guide me towards a career where I can better serve His kingdom. I'm currently working as a kindergarten teaching assistant for my former elementary school. What better place to share God's love than with His precious children? Learning more about God's character has shed a light on the importance of getting baptized. Contrary to what I thought, baptism has nothing to do with me and everything to do with me acknowledging what Jesus has done for me. I believe that by standing here today, I'm letting go of things that separate me from Christ. I'm thanking Him for all that He has done for me, and I'm choosing to obey the Father who has been so patient with me. Thank you all for listening.
Stay here. Don't run off so fast. Do you receive Mandy as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job, Mandy.
Hi. My name is Miho, and I'm standing here today to share my story and to be baptized at SP, a place I call my home church. And before I begin my testimony, I actually want to thank my super-duper persistent house church leaders, Sue and John, for encouraging me to get baptized, because they've actually signed me up for a couple of times already without telling me about it. And finally, after all the wait and hesitation, it's finally happening. I actually have a photo I'd like to share with you all. And this is a poster from one of the work offsite events from a couple years ago, where the members of my division had to draw a graph of our lives, backgrounds, and provide feedback on each other. And I wanted to put this up on the screen because I thought it pretty much summed up my life well and introduced myself, so you can kind of follow along. So simple couple bullet points about me. I'm Korean. Born in Japan, I moved to Korea when I was 5, and I left home alone around age 12 to study English and attend school in Canada. And I moved around quite a few times throughout my teens and onwards, with my latest one being my relocation back to Hong Kong last year. Definitely lots of highs and lows throughout all of them. Growing up, I always thought the word independence defined who I am, and I considered it as my biggest strength. Looking back, perhaps I associated believing God or any form of religion as a total defeat of everything I've worked so hard for. I moved to Hong Kong from New York in the summer of 2012 with a lot of excitement, ambitions, and expectations, mainly around my job, as my company was building a brand new centralized buying office in Hong Kong. I only knew my boss and his boss, and thought I'll be fine, as my tolerance with changes in general was fairly high. But it turned out to be very, very disappointing. People were mean, my hours were killing me, and I was officially depressed and lonely. And I would say that was the first time I got to encounter God. In 2013, one day in December, I asked my coworker who told me about her church, SP, that I'd like to join her one day. So I came along, and it was actually my first time ever walking into a church by my own will. And all I remember is that I just completely broke down. As Pine led the church in worship to the songs that I've never heard of, I was just crying and bawling in tears. And PSTEM sermon at the time was on reboot, as the church's theme was reboot going into the new year of 2014. And I felt this really, really strong connection right away. And I was at my lowest point, hitting the hard rock bottom in Hong Kong, and I was saved. And I came just for the sermons for the couple first months at SP. Never stayed behind for chats, fellowships, nothing like that. And also, after getting to know Sue, it took her about 4 months to join her house church, and I finally did. All in all, my faith was growing, and my days in Hong Kong were brightening up and changing without me noticing from that one significant visit at SP. Then some interesting events started taking place in my life, now with God and church in it. So shortly after finishing my GSE course with Pi Hyun-soo in fall 2014, I got a sign that my company actually secured a position for me back in New York. I've been fighting for it for quite some time, and they were sponsoring me visa, promoting me, and moving me to a nicer team to work in. And I briefly served in Noah's Ark, and even got connected to a sister at SP, who was also moving to New York around the same time, and we decided to roommate together. So it was like boom, 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 series of answer prayers happening, and yeah, things looked way too good to be true. And going back to the poster, for some reason, I liked it, and I wanted to keep it. And when I was packing my life away, I got to see it again. And actually, there is this blue Sharpie line I drew, and it's continuing to decline with a question mark at the end, but I realized that someone had left a green uptick at the end, which happened to be very true. And that point in time was exactly the time I first came to SP. So in reflection, I had to accept it and believe it. God is real, and he has shown me so much grace during my short 1 year at SP. I was really excited going back to New York, but I couldn't help to feel sad that I was leaving SP. But I still packed, left, and this one question kept lingering on me. Why now? God, is this really your timing? I moved to New York and immediately started working in apartment hunting again. New York will always be a very special place to me, but such a tough city to live in. And I also couldn't find a church. I only knew SP, and just everything else didn't seem to be the right fit. Or maybe I didn't try hard enough. I believed in God, but I was falling back into my old routines, and my life didn't show that I had a relationship with him anymore. Then, during summer, this unexpected news came. I got called in by HR, and they told me that the company's restructuring had impacted my role. I had about 3 months of handoff time, and then I was to go. So this was only into my 6 month of being back. I was completely lost, didn't know what to do, and I didn't know any better but than to try taking, you know, control of the things in my own hands, which I had no control over. Then one night, I received a random message that one of the sisters was listening to SPEMP podcast and that the church was praying for me. So I was forgetting something very important, and that was to pray and seek God. Maybe for someone that was raised in a Christian family or very disciplined since a very young age, it's natural that you pray and look for God and go to church, and it's an embedded lifestyle. But for me, that was definitely not the case. For me, I continuously had to remind myself of it and try to make it a habit. I then started praying day and night, and that naturally helped me letting go of my worries and anxiety. And in the midst of all this, I experienced another great revelation from God. I initially didn't plan on sharing this, but I was prayed over baptism this past week in my house church, and I got a conviction that I need to share. So despite all the lost feelings and resentment from my work continued to swell on one end, and at the same time, I realized there is also this huge emptiness in me about my dad that I buried very, very deep inside of me for a long time. And for the first time of being separated from him for 25 years, I decided to ask my mom that I want to meet him and want to look for him. I actually didn't even know if he was alive or where he lived. We just had no contact at all. And also, I knew that I'll be back in Asia at some point, whether with good news or on an unemployed status, I guess. So it was about time that I confront and have some questions answered about me. More than two months had gone by, and I was in my last week of the contractually signed 3 months at work, and the amazing work of God revealed that week. I got two internal offers that were competing each other, and I also received a word from my dad that he wants to see me and he misses me. And about the offers, not going to say much, but I can tell you that one was in New York, one was in Hong Kong, and everything, all the circumstances around it said choose the Hong Kong one. And also, moving to Hong Kong, I was allowed a month of remote work out of the Korea office, and that's the time my dad flew in to see me for the first time, and we had an amazing reconciliation. The reason why I wanted to share both of these events is that, first of all, I really learned from this experience that God knows me so well, even the things I didn't even realize about myself or of my brokenness. He's constantly working on fixing it and wants to show where the light is. I remember one of the SP sermons titled Father to the Fatherless and myself bawling after the service. Yes, I was happy to finally reunite with my dad, but what's even greater is that God has been there all along as my true heavenly father. And it was a confirmation that he wants to draw me closer to him and bring me back to him every time I fall through. I think most of us can relate to that. And secondly, he gave me confidence to come back to a place that once made me so dark and miserable. And I felt the assurance will always be there as long as I submit to him and the results are shown both in spirit as well as the real life events. I came back to Hong Kong last year, last November, and I was plugged right back into SP and my house church elements. Despite the time I was away from church and God in New York, he's being very forgiving to me and generous to me in so many ways. This year has been another fruitful but eventful year for me, and I continue to long for getting to know him and wrestle with him pretty much about everything. And you know what's funny? Ever since that first day, I'm always brought back to my GIC verses. It's almost as if God wants to tell me, child, don't forget about me. Seek me and you'll receive. Live and practice what I taught you in your everyday life. Assurance of guidance, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. I will say that my short and slow walk of knowing God has been quite an interesting ride thus far. And I'm happy to say today in front of you that I have decided to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior. And thank you for celebrating this special moment with me.
Amen. Do you receive Miho as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen.
Good job. Good job. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Jeffrey. I have decided to get baptized today. Getting baptized was actually vaguely at the back of my mind many, many years ago, but I never got to do it. I started thinking about it again earlier this year, and somehow I just could not make up my mind until about a month ago. Just a little bit on my background, I would say that I have been a Christian ever since my university days, but I have never been sure when exactly did I become a believer. Though I try to be a good Christian, and I actually read the Bible from time to time, my spiritual journey has actually been shaky. Ever since coming out to work, I would describe that the last, close to 20 years as traveling through a spiritual desert, almost. I would do things the same way, just like everyone else, chase after the same things, just like everyone else, and find comfort in the same things, just like everyone else. Things started to change gradually since 2010, when me and my family moved back to Hong Kong, and we started coming to SP more regularly, but the change has been slow. The turning point came around early 2013, when a distant cousin of mine, with whom I've only met once or twice before, was diagnosed with cancer. My parents told me about her situation and asked me to try to find a good doctor for her. Now, knowing that she's actually in a lot of pain and is not looking hopeful, I was also wondering what else I could do for her. I don't know if she's a Christian, but I thought maybe I can visit her in the hospital and tell her about God and eternal life. But I did not in the end, as I was handicapped in my thoughts, in my mind, by excuses, like I don't really know her that well. It would be awkward for me to go up to her just like that. She might think I'm crazy. You know, who is this guy? What's he trying to say? There are also other excuses, like belief is such a personal thing. I should just leave it to her and let her figure it out. The most lame excuse was, I actually don't know God that well. I don't actually know the Bible that well. So what is there for me to share? I can't say much about what I actually believe in. And so in the end, I didn't visit her, and she passed away 6 months later. So halfway through this incident in 2013, and coupled with immense pressure at work, I decided to take church and God more seriously. As a start, I began to do things that I was supposed to be doing. I started going to house church, which is actually the Bible study groups here at SP, in case you're not familiar. And I gradually started to understand just a little bit more about what I actually believe in. Then in early 2015, I left my job due to corporate restructuring, and so I was searching for directions in life, and I asked God for wisdom and for knowledge. And God used this year to teach me many, many things. He taught me how to communicate with him by giving me opportunities to practice at early morning prayers here at SP. He taught me about the Father's love as I got to spend a lot more time with my kids and was thinking through how to teach them and how to discipline them. Through the issues I had at home, he made me realize that I was prideful and often just looked at me, I, and myself. Through the homey outreach, he taught me about the way that he loves me, that he would come into our midst, walk alongside us, and die for us, rather than simply loving from up high. He taught me how he's at work around me and how he could actually use me. When I was being asked by people with special needs to pray for them during a visit to with the Sanji ministry. It was also in 2015 that I finally realized my identity, being simply the beloved creation of God, and there's nothing more that I need to do to secure that identity, as we were already born that way. continuing into this year, I felt like the theme of our church this year, building the house, describes my situation pretty well, where my own heart, my household, my family are being built up. Issues within my family are starting to be gradually resolved, and relationships gradually restored as both my wife and I continued to seek God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I think it is just so true through my experience of God in that 1 year. In the last few years. Now at the beginning of the testimony, I was saying that somehow I just could not make up my mind about getting baptized until a month ago. Now really, I just didn't know what to say in the testimony. I didn't want to give a testimony in front of everyone. I thought, like, what if God wanted me to tell you all my bad things that I've done, all the issues that I've had, all the people that I've hurt? But then I told myself that I would go for baptism if I get a message on baptism. And so I guess God heard that. And later on one Sunday, Pastor Andrew gave a whole sermon on baptism. But still, I struggled to sign up. Now, then came Dr. R.T. Kendall about a month ago. He's this world-renowned 81-year-old Bible scholar and preacher who was passionate about the words of God. He spoke about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. And at that moment, I felt that he gave me a sense of urgency and that I should just get prepared. I should just get a grip and just suck it out and just do it. And so that's why I'm here. Now, to end my testimony, I would just like to say that I have actually found the joy of my salvation, finally, through these experiences with God in the last few years. Honestly, it is a little late in my life, as you can see the white hair on my head. I see people in the outreach team. I see people in the welcoming team that serve with me together. I'm easily 15 plus years older than them. And often I wonder, why am I only just doing this? In fact, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, why am I even there in the first place? No, but I think the joy of salvation is really better late than never. So if you're a believer, but are like me a few years ago, whether you are a young person or around my age or older, I would just encourage you to simply seek after him daily, nothing more, and you'll be amazed by the journey that he's going to take you. Now, if you are not a believer yet, that's okay. I would just like to tell you that God is real. I would like to encourage you by telling you that in the past 2 years, what I realized is that we're actually all just tenants on earth. We hold everything here on trust, including our time, our possessions, and our physical body, everything. We don't truly own anything because the tenancy will expire. And before the tenancy expires, the single most important decision, and the only one that matters, is the decision on what you believe in. And that matters for eternity. And so that's my testimony. Thank you so much for listening.
Amen. Oh, we'll do that afterwards. Amen. Do you receive Jeffrey as your brother in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
My name is Xiaoming. I've been coming to SP since 2007. As you can see, I've not exactly been in a hurry to get baptized. Why? Because when you really get down to the heart of the matter, I wasn't 100% sure that I could stand up here and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus, come what may, without being a fraud. You know, they say, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Can I really call him my Lord? I don't think I could. All my life, I have been so blessed. I was born to a loving family. I got good grades, good jobs without trying very hard. I was teacher's pet. I was the boss's favorite. I married a good husband, and now I'm his favorite. I have lovely kids and awesome friends. I've never had to worry about money, but this just meant that I had a lot to lose. After all, it was the God of the Bible that told Abraham to put Isaac on the altar. It was the Jesus of the Bible who said that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And it was Jesus who told the rich young ruler to sell everything, give to the poor, and follow him. I couldn't do any of these things. I mean, I wasn't even sure God existed. Sure, I knew all the theological arguments, but for each of these arguments, it's possible to find a counter-argument. I had been going to church on and off for most of my life. I had definitely prayed before an important exam, being a good Singaporean, or when I was stuck in a sticky situation. But there was never any tangible proof that God existed. So how could I give up all this tangible stuff that I already had for some intangible and uncertain gain? What if God was just an imaginary friend I had somehow brainwashed myself into believing? To make things worse, I didn't even really want the promised reward, which was entry into heaven and eternal life. Heaven seemed really boring to me, a place where people just worshiped the God who I had no real feeling for. But what kept me going to church was that I wanted to avoid hell. If I could be convinced that there was no chance that hell existed, that life merely ended in death with no further consequences, I'm not sure I would bother to try and get into heaven at all. So how did I meet Jesus? So then what happened? What happened was that God revealed to me why I needed Jesus, and then he revealed to me himself, then he became real to me, then he allured me and spoke kindly to me, as they say in Hosea. So how did he reveal Jesus to me? In late 2014, I started to read the Bible. It was only after I read the Bible that I began to even have a concept of how far I had fallen short of the standard of God and why I needed Jesus. I mean, if you just apply secular standards, I was a pretty good person. I never done anything really bad, but it was the first commandment which hit me most, like a slap in the face. The first commandment says that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You know what? I had fallen flat on my face at that very first commandment. Why? Because I had put, and still do put, so many other things before God. When I wake up in the morning, I check my email first. Instead of that means I have placed my work before God because I didn't do my quiet time, I didn't pick up the Bible. You know, when during offering times, I open my wallet, I see $1,000 bills there, and then I just take out five. I'm essentially keeping the rest of the money for myself. I'm putting myself first before God. I put my kids first before God all the time. The list goes on and on. And so, motivated by my fear of God, I started to try and put God first. And the more I tried, the more aware I became of how often I failed. I would go to bed at night determined to pray in the morning, but then I would wake up late, get stuck with the kids, and find myself apologizing to God on the way to work. Okay, sorry, God, but I will pray during lunch. Come lunch, I would be at my desk working, and then suddenly lunch hour would be over. Appointment with God forgotten. Or when I didn't have work, a really attractive lunch proposition would come up, and God never won that fight. As Paul says in Romans 7:7, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. The more I read the Bible, the greater my awareness of the standards of God and the greater my realization of how far I had fallen short. And the more I became aware of how far I had fallen short, the more grateful I became that God had sent Jesus to die for me on the cross so that it is his breastplate of righteousness that I wear and not my own. But that's just half the equation. The other half of the equation is that I fell in love with God. Reading the Bible made me fall in love with God. I can see God's beauty through the beauty of the scriptures. I can see God's heart written all over it. Before I read the Bible, I thought of God as an all-powerful being who would ask Abraham to put Isaac on the altar, who would probably have no more feeling for me than I would an ant. The Bible shows something so different, a faithful and lovesick God who pleads with his people to turn back to him so that he can show them his goodness, so that he can be together with them. In Isaiah 1, God pleads with us, where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole heart is sick. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow, and though they are like red like crimson, they will be wool. This is the heart of a father who so desperately wants to bind up the wounds of his child, to protect his child, to give his child his best. This is the call of a lovesick suitor telling his love to come back to him. How can I love a God like that? How could I be unmoved? And then God upped his game. As I tried to seek him, to put him first, to read the Bible, he started to reward me with his presence. Sometime earlier this year, Holy Spirit would start to make his presence felt when I was praying. And I would find myself praying tongues or feel my cheeks flush or shake. And then a weird thing happened. He started to drop Bible verse references into my head as I prayed. I don't mean the content. I mean just the references. Most of the time, I had to look up these references because I had no clue what the content was. But 99% of the time, the references turned out to be passages which were very directly relevant to the situation. Sometimes, it felt like these verses were just shared with me because God just wanted to reassure me that he was real and he desired to have a relationship with me. At other times, it felt like these verses were just meant to be shared. And if I was hesitant to share because I wasn't sure if it was just my wild imagination, Holy Spirit would just intensify his presence, as if to say, "Don't worry, this is me. You couldn't shake like this if you tried, girl." Given how much I love the Bible, given how much I'm naturally inclined to worry that I'm just brainwashing myself into believing in an imaginary God, this was the perfect tailor-made gift for me. Because if he had just dropped the content, I would have dismissed it as myself. But by dropping just the references to the verses I didn't know, he proved to me again and again and again that he was real, that he was speaking to me, that I was special to him. Just on Friday night, we were at house church, and my friend Herang was just saying how much she wanted to love the Word. And God dropped a reference in my head for her. Psalm 119:16. I mean, I knew Psalm 119 was generally about loving the Word, but I had no clue what the specific verse 16 was, so I looked it up. And it says, "I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." With one gesture, God told Herang he loves her, but he also told me he loves me. So how has my life changed since? Knowing God has given me a perspective of eternity. It has given me a pure desire for him. Previously, God was merely a means to an end for me. Obey him to get health and wealth. Obey him to get eternal life and to avoid hell. Now, God is a person. A person I desire to be with. A person whose company I enjoy. And the more I desire his presence, the more he shows me his glory and his goodness, so that following him becomes a joy and not a chore. And once my focus was on God, it matters less to me what car I drive, what house I live in, whether my deal at work goes through. The thrill of all that is nothing compared to the thrill of his presence. And so suddenly, it becomes so much easier to not love the things of this world and simply obey his voice. Sadly, I still don't know that I could sell everything I have today to follow Jesus or put my kids on the altar if he so commanded. I still violate the first commandment every day despite my best efforts. But every failure and every fear merely increases my gratitude to Jesus because I know he has given me room to fail on earth, to learn, to grow, to overcome the challenges set before me, and to be part of the good plans he has in store for me. And all these things I'm so fearful of doing, carrying a cross, denying myself, giving up everything, guess what? Jesus did all of these things for me anyway. And as for Abraham and Isaac, well, when God took Isaac off that altar for Abraham, he provided his own son as a replacement. God put Jesus on that altar for all of us. And when all is done and the race is run, and then this beautiful Lord that I only have now caught glimpses of shall be revealed to me in his full glory, and we shall be baptized, we shall be married for eternity. You know, I was faithless person as I am. Just now when Nate was worshiping, I was still saying to myself, "Lord, are you real? Do you really want me to do this today? Am I dreaming all this up? Give me a verse." And there and then, Isaiah 25 popped into my head. Now, I just want to give you the background to this. I was, and still am probably, a ruthless investment banker type personality. I love my wines. I have a problem giving out wealth and all this stuff. These are fortresses in my life that just the idea of giving up just causes me endless struggle every day. And obviously, I'm getting baptized today. So listen to Isaiah 25 and know how good the Lord is. And this is what Isaiah 25 says. "Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. For you have made a city into a heap, a fortified city into a ruin. A palace of strangers is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt." The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the peoples on this mountain. Remember how I didn't want to go to heaven. A banquet of aged wine, hooray. Choice pieces of marrow, amazing. And refined aged wine, there's Lafitte in heaven. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering, which is over all peoples, even the veil, which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe away tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The unassailable fortifications of your walls he will bring down, lay low and cast to the ground, even to the dust. Praise be to God. He is real. I love him, and that's why I'm getting baptized today.
Stay. Everyone always wants to run off afterwards. Okay. Do you receive Xiao Ming as your sister in Christ? Yes. Amen, amen. Good job.
Hi, I'm Simei. Before I accepted Christ, it was back in 2010. I was a uni student that was stuck in an economics and finance degree in a good university, but I wasn't feeling great about my future. I can't imagine working in a bank. In a sense, I was really lost instead of feeling hope when I graduated. It was when I was feeling the worst, like I was in a bottomless dark pit, that I accepted Christ into my life. I grew up in a middle-income family in Hong Kong. I was a free thinker, or you could say all over the place, believing in Taoism for my grandparents' influence, praying to God sometimes as my helper taught me about Jesus, and believing I can do all things by my own strength. My family was well off initially when I was a child. However, all things changed when I was in high school. My dad's business wasn't doing well. He lost everything that he has built over the years. We can't afford a helper anymore, which we treat as a family member. The relationship between my parents was strained, and my dad started to gamble. Little did I know that depression entered my life. Filled with worries, anxieties, living became a constant struggle that I had to fight with. As I was still studying in an international school where kids there are from privileged backgrounds, I was keeping a happy face on, but inside I was really depressed. Things were spiraling downwards in my senior years of high school. Both my parents eventually got bankrupt, and we don't have enough money to afford uni education. Despite all this, I was doing well at school and got into uni. There were times that I prayed to God for help in desperate situations, but I quickly moved on as I believed that only the weak needed God, and I don't want to be weak. In the last year of uni, I interned at a nonprofit, which was actually located in a church building. On the first day working there, my boss randomly asked if she could pray for me, and something moved me then and there. I burst into tears. Great. First day, and I cried at work. Sometime later, she invited me to her church, and there was an altar call, and I accepted Christ into my life on that day at SP. I recall that day I felt burdens lifted. I felt light, happy, and at peace, even with all the mess that I'm in. My circumstances haven't changed overnight, but after accepting Christ, things were as it was, and our family was still struggling. But with the little faith that I have, I kept going to church. My faith, house church, and the friends here at SP gradually transformed my life. Relationships are mended. Instead of arguing, there's peace and joy. Instead of depression, there's hope. Instead of feeling weak or thinking that praying signifies weakness, I know that I pray because God is my strength and I'm a child of God. Our family proved true in the end, and a Christian walk is not easy, but I know for sure that God loves, cares, and is always good.
Oh, that was awesome. Huh? Amen. Do you receive Simei as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job.
Hi, Hi, everyone. I am Christina Tang. I'm born and raised in Hong Kong, and I'm very passionate about the environment. I also believe that a lot of problems can be solved and broken down by trials and errors. And that's why I become an entrepreneur. I've been to India and Ghana, where I worked on water supply issues. Right now, I'm working on managing energy consumption. I thought we must act every day, because any small action is better than no action at all. Love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. So as a team, we managed to reach some milestones one after another. And every time when I thought, only if we reach that next goal, we'll be happy and satisfied. And as you can imagine, after each milestone, another Mission Impossible came up. I started to realize that this is going to be a very long and tough journey, and the thought of it becomes tiring. The fact is, it is tiring all through my life. In my upbringing, I learned to strive for achievements. I need to work my way up for college, for job, and now for the business of my startup. Every result seems to be about us taking actions and us working for it. If we don't work for it, we don't get recognized or we don't get paid. It's never granted for free. I also learned about Jesus from an early age at school, that he has an everlasting and unchanging love for us. Well said and extremely ideal, I thought to myself all these years, thinking that they are very great visionary teachings, just that they're not practical. And I remember reading about the story of how Jesus multiplied 5 bread and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 men and their family. That's feeding 20 the times of our congregation right now. And I think it's like a superhero movies, that it is ideal and it would be great if Jesus is real. Real like you and me here, that you know we can have a conversation, that we can speak and interact. And I think that Jesus' love is not logical, the way of how he loves us. He said it is unconditional, but we don't need to work for it. That's not how things work here, and that's not how I understand how things have been working. If I use my logic, then God and Jesus must, one, be not logical, or two, they must be lying. So I found myself believing in Jesus with my lips, but not really fully trusting him with my life and my actions. How can I trust an illogical God or a God who says he loves us, but giving us all these problems to solve every day? I could not understand this illogical God. In the midst of all these questions, this illogical God still draws me to him. I still attended church, house church, and things started to change about 3 months ago. I started to join the Bible study fellowship, and I also more openly speak to my house church members about my struggle. And I've shared with them that I think I am rebellious, that it has been extremely challenging to grow my faith. Coincidentally, our church retreat took place about 3 months ago, and I went with an extremely low expectation. My pastor there talked about freedom is the ability to obey. And to be very honest, in the past 2 years of retreat, I've gotten very little out of it. But at that evening, I went up to pray to the altar for the first time. And the pastor on the stage actually said at that point that someone out there in the front think that they are rebellious. But that is a lie. You are accepted as who you are by Jesus. And I realized that truth cannot be bent to fit my view of the world. It doesn't matter how I look at myself. What is more important is how Jesus looked at me. Since then, Jesus has opened my eyes and heart to understand his teachings and his love. Before, when I read the Bible, it is like a sleep inducer. I intentionally read it before I sleep, so I can sleep better. And I'm ready to fall asleep every time when I open the book. And they were really plain and boring. But now I find actually a lot of joy and eagerness from reading his words. And so I read about how Jesus multiplied the five bread and the two fish story again recently. And this time I learned something new and relevant to me personally. You see, I missed a very important detail in the story before. In this story, Jesus partners with a poor boy to carry out his miracle. The five bread and the two fish that Jesus has initially multiplied is actually provided by the boy. He multiplied the bread and the fish provided by a poor boy and turned it into one of the greatest miracles for the world. One poor boy obedience fed over 5,000 men and their family. What's more is that Jesus asked the disciples to collect all the leftover of his miracles. So they collected 12 baskets of bread. And I'm like, whoa, this is really for me, because Jesus is also an environmentalist. He doesn't like to waste food. He actually collected the leftovers from his own miracles. And he also left the country parks, you know, that he preached in as the way it was before. So I think, yeah, this is really, you know, my Jesus, my God. Tradition says we must work for our salvation. Jesus says the only work we must do is to believe in him. When we take actions, it is not to win a battle. Jesus has already won the battle for us. Jesus wants us to take actions to grow us, to build our faith muscle. And there are still many things that I don't understand about Jesus and his plan and why all these problems. But from the little that I know, I can trust in him that he has my back always. Learning from being an entrepreneur, I think it's very important to be honest with the problems that I'm tackling. And John 12:24 says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I'm that seed today. Baptism means I died to my old self and was born anew in Jesus. And hey, Jesus is actually very logical. It actually makes sense to apply on my startup too. Die to our own interest and stop thinking about how we can earn money or sell more. Instead, focus on what our customer and what people needs and fulfill their needs. It will become a lot more fruitful.
Amen. Do you receive Christina as your sister in Christ? Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job.
Good afternoon, SP. My name is Giri. It's actually Giridhar Gopal Krishna, but leave it to Giri, so you don't get confused. So I'm from Mumbai and been in Hong Kong for about 9 years. And I'm married to an amazing woman, Sarika. And she's my childhood sweetheart also. And we have two boys, Neer and Veer. And they both look like Sarika, so praise the Lord. I'm a blessed man. God has been really good to me, and he's been looking after me always. I have healthy family, loving parents, awesome friends, and enjoy what I do. Throughout my career, God has really blessed me financially as well. It's not to say that I didn't have my share of struggles, and hard work was never an option. Yet, it is not for all good things I know, and I'm fully convinced that I'm truly blessed. Life has been awesome. Everything was going fine. It was something 2 years back, I started feeling emptiness. I continued to question myself what exactly is missing, but was not able to zero in on anything specific. In the whole searching for that question, I actually ended up buying up Microsoft Pro. Yeah, so think about it, how desperate I was. Yeah. But in all seriousness, I tried speaking with Sarika. I tried speaking to my parents as well, to take their perspective on somehow did not get the satisfied answer. My mom always thinks me that the best solution is I should pack my bag, go to Mumbai and live with her, yeah? And somehow she always ended that conversation to that level, yeah? So I think I was at rest, but not at peace, definitely. So I started seeking, and if you seek, you find. I started speaking to Max, and I saw Max doing some weird stuff like fasting, and he stopped. By the way, I know Max for a long period of time, and so I've seen him before he came to Christ also, so I could see the changes in him. Yeah, I saw him doing fasting, stop drinking, and stop swearing almost. So... But definitely there were changes, yeah. Eventually God brought to me that my divine moment, a steak dinner with Max, and the conversation followed. By the way, one of the best steak dinner I ever had in my life. Yeah, I mean, we both are foodie, and but that was even making me hungry right now thinking about it. Yeah. So. And I started coming to SP. And by attending multiple sermons, some influential speakers who are really God-gifted speakers, last week and few weeks back, listening to P. Benjamin and R.T. Kendall, I kind of started getting my answers. Yeah, one of the altar call in the very early days last year, when P. Sam called all of us to the altar call, I was crying uncontrollably, and till today, I don't know why. But it felt good, definitely. It definitely felt really, really good. So I think that's where I started my relationship with God. I think, and I enjoy every bit of it. Now I have someone to talk to, someone who puts me on right path, someone who gives me that confidence, and I can feel I'm changing. And change is good. Now thinking back, I think it was always God's plan, and he used Nir, my son, to show his pure love. It was really a shock to my mom when because Nir went to YMCA. It's not like we tried to put him to their YMCA, but somehow he always ended up in Christian school. Yeah, and one day when my mom was visiting from India, and it was very really funny when Nir told my mom about Jesus, and my mom was under shock. Yeah, so like, what are you talking about? Anyway, so, but we always, after that, we always try to put Nir into non-Christian school, not like about religious or anything like that. We said, but somehow God always showed his presence via him to us. He always around us, our family. He's the one who pushes us every Sunday to go to church. Yeah, he's the one, sometimes amazes me with his one-liner biblical answers when I'm not being fair, or not being mean, and he tries to tell me, no, Dad, that's not how you do it, yeah? So he's really inspiration to me. The missing piece was his peace, and to know his peace, I had to meet him. Through my kids, as I just explained, through you, all of you guys, the body, the SP, my house church, Happy Valley, and... my house shares Happy Valley. Yeah. Yeah. First, knowing that that there was a bunch of people who prayed for me and my family to come to know to the Christ was really weird to understand it afterwards. But then it felt very humbling. People who I didn't even know at all cared about me and my family. Why? I think now I know why, and it's indeed very humbling. I think I'm at peace and very, very secure inside. Today is the day I want to take this relationship to next level of commitment, rather celebrating that relationship. Yeah. So today I testify and I celebrate the blessings of coming to Christ. I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for all my friends who don't know him yet. And I'm doing this because I know God's heart breaks for those who don't know him. Praise him.
Amen. Do you receive Giddy as your brother in Christ? Amen. Amen. Good job.